This is a desktop movie.
If you say so.
No, just I'm looking at the brightness the sun has created. I can't justify it. I'm not staring at the sun. But
it's okay. He's not your doctor.
My doctor is like my doctor's pretty wild. My eye doctor, he was like, "No, every other doctor you got a lot of PhDs behind this whole not staring at the sun thing, but my PhD says fill up some calluses."
Listen. 9 out of 10 doctors say don't stare at the sun. I'm the one doctor.
And that 10th doctor.
Do stare at the sun.
That 10th doctor, that's the sun.
It's doctor's son.
That's definitely doctor's son. Hey, Nikki, how's it going?
Good. How are you, Brandon?
I'm doing well. I'm enjoying a cup of joe here and in sunny Thailand. What's your sitch?
I'm drinking some water in very dark United States.
Well, just rest assured that I was hit by a heat wave yesterday in the February that is Thailand that has me very concerned for the hot months of this country.
Well, rest assured, we've dealt with about 8 inches of snow here in the past 2 days. So... Probably. That's been really fun.
Very, heck yeah. I'll have to bleep that out. That's fine. still waking up the muscles. Welcome to...
That's all right.
...to 2D or not 2D, an animated podcast that we do.
No, an animated movie podcast that we do. Still this podcast is not animated.
Nikki, I haven't talked to many people.
It's fine. We're talking now. I'm going to help you through this.
Waking up the
podcast. That's why there's two of us and not just one of us.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, then you please take the reins, please. I'm going to sip some more Joe.
Well, this is an animated movie podcast. We talk about animated movies. We pick one a month. Sometimes they are suggestions by people and we watch them. We discuss them and then we do another movie. And that's the podcast, Brandon. That's what we're doing here.
That's the whole dang thing.
Yeah.
And what movie did we pick this month?
This month was a suggestion, and it was Waking Life.
Yes, directed by Richard Linklater. Linklater. You know, go ahead.
I think I've heard it Linklater, but the other way also makes sense.
I think it is Linklater. I started to say that and then my brain got scared. I did research on this, but it's funny. It's the first thing that comes up is like, I probably should listen to an interview with somebody introducing him would have been a fun way to ensure that. But nonetheless.
Well, that's 1,000% more research than I did. I did none.
Well, it's a strange movie. It's kind of like I did not do very much research because it's a bit of a strange film. We're gonna talk about it and definitely gonna I guess spoil it. I don't know how spoilable this movie is without it being like a 4 hour long podcast. But yeah, I don't think we need to take too long describing the plot because
we can't really, it's a very artsy film and it's not one we can really walk you through the key points, which might be a little bit of a spoiler,
right?
I guess.
Yeah. That unto itself. I mean, I think that's more to me, that's more of just a general warning. I don't know. I kind of wish I had known that a little bit before going into it because watching it, there isn't much of there's a very, very small, slim central plot, which, I mean, to really sum it up in a sentence or two is our protagonist is in a dream and trying to wake up and then having several conversations, sometimes with people, sometimes
dream. He's observing them.
Yeah, that's exactly the way to put it, is just observing people monologuing about life, existentialism, dreams.
Lucid dreaming.
Yeah.
Like the big overarching theme is lucid dreaming, and like, how do you differentiate waking life, from sleeping life? And there's like a little bit of a story with like reoccurring dream characters, and our protagonist starts to realize he's dreaming eventually, thanks to these characters kind of being like, you know, how do you know you're not dreaming right now? And he's like, oh, I am dreaming. And then he tries to find help from these dream characters to wake up from his dream. And ultimately, we never see him wake up from the dream.
And yeah, one of the last conversations he actually has, the man at the pinball machine, is Richard Linklater himself. And yeah, I don't know. Like, so
but
I...
Sorry. So he also, the man at the pinball machine, he's a reoccurring dream character, because he's like, wait, didn't you pick me up in a boat car? Didn't you do, there was like three times that he came into this kid's dream. And I say kid, he's young. I don't really know how old he's supposed to be. But yeah, so I guess Linklater was in there quite a few times.
Yeah. And I think it's pretty intentionally, like, I mean, it is just very disorienting in just the plot unto itself, let alone its other elements. I'd be curious, because I do wish I had known a little bit that structure of the plot before watching it, because it was probably 15, 20 minutes into it that I was like, okay, this is what they're doing. Like, this is a bunch of little essays, monologues, and what have you. So I kind of gave you a heads up on that, just because I didn't want you to, like, I think this film was definitely enjoyed. That is my opinion of it, it's enjoyed giving a little bit of a heads up on it. What did you think of it? How would you walk away with?
I thought, yeah. Okay. So you did tell me, you kind of described it as a bunch of like mini TED Talks that were like animated over. And I think that was a perfect description of it. I did watch this with my partner, and I told him that. He was like, oh, like, what movie are you watching? Maybe I want to watch it with you. And I described it, and he's like, okay. So we watched it, and a couple of times he was like, wait, why is this happening? And I was like, he's in a dream. but I don't know. It was really good. It wasn't really what I was expecting, I guess, just because it was so fluid in structure. Like, the structure was kind of constantly changing, which makes sense, because they tried to make it as much like a dream as possible, is what it seemed like.
Yeah.
And I think they nailed it.
Well, and it's cool that you say that, because I was, before we hopped on the call here, I was looking at some reviews online of the movie, and that's what a lot of people were saying, was they were like, oh, wow, he really captured a dream. And it's strange. I actually didn't pick that up watching it until I read those. I don't know why, but I mean, absolutely. Yeah, it's very much, I think I was more caught off by how the animation at times almost was, I mean, it never fully made me nauseous or anything, but it was a lot to look at. Like, the backgrounds kind of moved not in tandem with the characters, and very much like a dream.
I think that they also, because the character probably doesn't realize he's dreaming until like halfway through the movie, or maybe even 2/3 of the way through the movie. And I think with the animation style, it did start off really, like, I got that immediately, where it kind of made me a little nauseous because it was like moving in different layers. But the animation style also got more unrealistic as the film went on, like very more like, oh, like people are animating with their hands and it's making shapes and colors appear as they move. And that was disorienting as well, because there's already a lot going on, and then these animations would appear over the other animations, and it was just like, oh, okay, there's a lot going on here.
Yeah, no, I did a little bit of looking. I just kind of wanted to see what this type of animation was, because it's very distinctive, and it is a process known as rotoscoping, which is where they film some aspect of it on a traditional camera, be it, it may have been film at this time. If it was film, that would have been ungodly expensive. I think it probably was a digital type of camera. Yeah. And then they animate atop each individual frame.
Right.
And I don't know. There's something like really unique and kind of, I guess, you know, for if you're listening and you can't really draw to mind an example of this, I think really the closest just cultural touchstone for rotoscoping is probably something like Take On Me by A-ha.
Yes.
It's a little different, but it's very similar. Just that kind of hyper-realistic, tiny micro movements in human.
Yeah, it was very much, when you're drawing over film like this, you're drawing over essentially 3D life. You're making 3D life, 2D life. And while these like movements and small gestures make sense in real life to illustrate over those in a 2D flat fashion, makes it kind of jerky and unnatural and kind of wavy. And I know in the very beginning, like the first few characters we saw, their eyes were just straight up like not attached to their faces. Like they were just like floating over. And then a lot of the small like facial expressions of a lot of the characters were super over exaggerated. Like someone's eyes would widen and they'd be like five times bigger than their normal eyes instead of just a little bit widening that we would notice human to human. We would notice someone's eyes widening, but if they had drawn that little infinite like little tiny difference in 2D, we probably wouldn't have noticed.
Right. Yeah, no, and it's because it lacks the almost like calming unrealisticness of, you know, say for instance your Looney Tunes, where you know the movement is very fluid and I mean honestly just cartoonish. I mean when and everything is hyper exaggerated and it feels, it's weird because it's like almost that feels more natural than rotoscoping, but it's not.
I think rotoscoping, especially with the human form, I think it kind of teeters on like the uncanny valley.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that's exactly that same sentiment hits where you're just like, once you get past that, I think it's very cool. Like I was really kind of taken by it. But yeah, initially it's very, very strange.
Right. I would be curious to know like how many different animators worked on this, because I do think different scenes had different styles and some of them were a lot more palatable than the others as far as like that like uncanniness kind of sneaks in there. Because sometimes you're like, oh, like this is really pretty, this is really cool. And sometimes you're like, I can really, because we had a little bit of a talk before I watched it about the rotoscoping, because you and I have problems with motion sickness, so you gave me a heads up on that. And like there were parts of it that I'm like, I can tell that this was like recorded first and then drawn over, and then there were parts where I'm like, this is just really good animation. So I don't know.
Yeah, looking at the animation department for it, it looks like there was a little over 30 animators which it definitely jumps around all sorts of different styles within a kind of a slight parameters. I mean, it doesn't quite lose itself too much, but it is very interesting. Were there any, did you recognize any of the people speaking, at any point?
I did not.
I only recognized a couple of them. And then a couple, even just like name recognition, did I recognize many of them? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I did like read, like I watched the credits to see if I recognized any of the names, and I didn't. So
The ones that kind of stood out to me that I definitely know, and I'd be interested to know several of them because a lot of them are just people with doctorates. I mean, they're people with psychology mm-hmm. or philosophy. I mean, so it kind of was cool to hear, you know, these are people that, I mean, they're experts.
They know what they're talking about.
Yeah. And then some of them really surprised me. Like the one that I was like, I had to look up cause I was like, surely I know this guy. The very angry person in the jail. I was like, is this like an actual interview with like
a murderer?
Yeah, no, just an actor.
That's what I figured.
Doing some, which I mean, incredible. Yeah, it was Charles Gunning. I didn't recognize him at the time, but towards the end, the man being interviewed on the television was played by Steven Soderbergh. He's a director. Let me get him pulled up to see. He's done some stuff. I mean, there's a film called Traffic. He's just kind of like a prolific film director that I was kind of surprised to see. But the two things that stood out that I was like, oh, I definitely know those people. There were Ethan Hawke and Julie Deppley, the couple having the conversation in bed about mm-hmm. reincarnation.
Yes.
I recognized them. And then actually on our flight to Thailand, Donna and I watched Before Sunrise, which is Richard Linklater's, I think a lot of people would consider one of his like best work. And it stars those two. And a short synopsis of that film is it's a kind of a couple that has a, you know, once in a lifetime meeting experience over the course of a single evening. And it came out a handful of years before. I mean, this came out in 2001. Before Sunrise came out in 95. So 6 years before that.
Okay.
Very, very similar in terms of kind of a platform to express a lot of ideas. These two people it's just them talking. I actually liked Waking Life a lot better, a lot more than Before Sunrise. But it, a lot of similar stuff. The conversation that they have in bed is actually from Before Sunrise.
Okay.
Which I was like, that was kind of weird to me. I was like, whoa,
this is the same scene.
Yeah. I mean, they weren't in bed. They were in a different location, but I was like kind of curious. I was like, I wonder if this was rotoscoped from that film and placed into this situation. I don't know. I just thought that was really interesting.
Hmm.
The other person I recognized that was very surprising to me, the man in the car with the PA system.
Yeah.
That was Alex Jones, which I don't know if you're familiar with Alex Jones, but he's a incredibly right-wing radio show host. So I thought that was really strange. Like,
so his rant was like legitimate. Like that was his opinion.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, I don't know. Like, I feel like it had to have been. But I don't know if maybe this, I mean, because he's a public figure, and maybe Richard Linklater was just like, yeah, I'm going to take that and plug that into my movie as a concept and an idea. Because we all, that could lead credence to the thought that some stuff that enters our dreams are stuff we don't want them to be there, you know?
Right. And I do think they kind of touch on this, like once the protagonist realizes he's dreaming, he runs and like he walks by someone on the street and she turns around and stops him and she says, can we do that again?
Mm.
He's like, what are you talking about? She's like, well, I don't want to be an ant just like walking by you. Like I want to be a reoccurring character in your dream basically. And so they have this really profound discussion about like being aware of your dreams and everything. And he mentions like, he starts recalling things that have happened in his dream, the movie so far. And he's like, they're having these thoughts that I would never have. They're saying these things I would never say. Like, so I think the inclusion of the guy in the jail and then apparently Alex Jones is, you know, kind of the example of that is, you know, our waking life affects our sleeping life, whether we want it to or not.
Mm. Yeah. No, I think that's exactly it. That feels very, very on the nose for it. It's so strange looking too at his filmography. Like, it's such a weird hodgepodge of stuff because he also directed the film Boyhood, which I enjoyed, which is also stars Ethan Hawke, where he's kind of following a family over the course of, I think, 20 years in real time.
Yeah.
And then also School of Rock, which is like, that's the one that really kind of is strange to me, just because that's such a
hard pivot.
Hard pivot. But like, I don't know. I think that there's probably something there that somebody who has that goes about, you know, I don't know if it's the right word, but like pontificating on life's existence and stuff, and then can like do a very nuanced school teacher film. Like,
yeah. And like, it also, I feel like it depends on who these people were working with, you know, like who had the idea and then went and got their friends and buddies and whatever to be like, hey, let's make this movie together. So
yes, that's a very,
he might have directed it, but it might not have been his like brainchild, so to speak.
Right. No, it definitely, it takes a whole village. So that's a really good point too.
Takes a village to make a movie.
It do. I really want to watch. The last thing I just want to say on Richard is that I want to watch his, he has another rotoscope film that's not as lofty as this one, apparently, as far as like loosely plot driven. That's a film called A Scanner Darkly, which has Keanu Reeves, Robert Downey Jr., Woody Harrelson. I don't know much about it, but
lots of big names.
And I was hoping to get to watch it before we recorded, but I'll have to hop back to it. Yeah. I don't know. Do you have any other thoughts on this one?
You know, I do have one thought. So after watching this, did you immediately try to figure out how to lucid dream?
You know, I remember hearing about lucid dreaming in the sense that this film talks about it for the first time in high school. And weirdly, ever since I watched this movie, I keep thinking about when I heard about it and who I heard it about it from.
Mm-hmm.
Because I keep having this argument in my head about this guy I went to high school with, where I'm like, is he like a million miles ahead of me? Or was he just somebody who enjoyed smoking weed and was like, I heard about this thing.
Right.
I have not looked into it too much in terms of how to actually do it. But I felt the drive. Did you look into
For sure. Yeah. I don't think I was even done with the movie. I'm like, I'm going to pull this up so I don't forget.
Do you think you're going to make that a pursuit a little bit? Because I'm very curious about the process.
Yeah. So I think I've had this like a very similar situation. I mean, we went to high school together, so it might've been the same guy, but I remember hearing about it in high school too, but I honestly don't remember who was talking about it. And I was just like, that's crazy. And I had really hard time sleeping when I was in high school. So I didn't get a lot of sleep ever in my teenage years. But now that I sleep a little bit better, I have these things called nightmares all the time, like constantly. And that's apparently a widely suggested like therapy for them, is to try lucid dreaming to prevent the nightmares. So yeah, it's something I'm doing research on now.
For me, weirdly this week, as I've had several instances of this, very shortly after I'm aware that I'm dreaming, I wake up. Like, I can't.
Yeah.
Like, it, with a few exceptions, because I don't get to, I almost, to me, I guess they are nightmares. I get the like sleep paralysis at times a little bit, or I always get nervous about talking about having some kind of distressing thing, because I'm like, I'm aware that for me, my experiences don't seem as intense as a lot of other people I've heard describe sleep paralysis, but like, yeah, I've been locked in place knowing I'm asleep without being able to move or function. And that's always very scary. So I'm very curious about the process, because it sounds delightful.
Yeah. And I, for like, from what I've read, that is one of the big side effects, is like doing this might cause sleep paralysis, or you might be like aware of your, like more aware of your sleep paralysis. And if you can't handle that, maybe don't do it. But yeah, I don't know. It's just learning how to recognize that you're dreaming and then not freaking out about it. Cause like, I think I've had that in the past where I'm like, oh, this is a dream. And yeah, I like instantly wake up too, but it's usually like not a good dream. So I want to wake up.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like my last one was, I was like I was a baby and I was on top of a Roomba and this Roomba was going around in a circle and then this bag of dog food was there. And then this voiceover came over. And when you were a kid, were you ever terrified by the, like, whenever the TV would cut from like Cartoon Network to Adult Swim or something? And
oh, yeah.
Like, viewer discretion is advised and like silent.
Yes.
Like that happened, but it was like a lot of people go missing in the world. But what you don't know is that their information is on the back of dog food. And then the dog food fell on top of me. And then I woke up because Donna was shaking me because I was like quietly like screaming to myself.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I'm always a little nervous to mess with my sleep, just because I don't know. It's a 1/3 of your life, and it's a scary thing to try and mess with too much.
That is very fair, and I totally understand.
But I don't know. I mean, like I'm also like I'm reading the Tibetan Book of the Dead right now, and it talks a lot about lucid dreaming and how it's a big part of the Buddhist practice of spirituality.
Yeah.
In terms of being kind of one in one with meditation. So I don't know. I mean, there's a lot. I don't think it's at all a not worthwhile pursuit.
Yeah. I don't know. This movie makes you think about stuff.
It really do. It really do. I think this is something that like I could really enjoy coming back to after a bit. Like I'm a big fan of a lot of the stuff that was thought of. Some of it I didn't. I can't think of specific examples, but I don't know about you, but were there some for you where I was like, that can't be, I can't get behind that philosophy.
I think there were just some that I just didn't fully understand. And so I just kind of was like, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Right.
It was that kind of thing. Like, I think I really, this has nothing to do with how much I enjoyed the movie, but I kind of tuned in and out, like whether I was following what the character was saying, or B, like agreed with it to some point, or like found it interesting. So there definitely were some, can't tell you which ones they were, but there were like some that hit me that were like really good points of like, have you ever had a dream that you like, you work a full day and then you go to bed and then you wake up for real and then you have to go to work and like you get paid minimum wage to like go to this job for 8 hours a day and then you come home and you still work for them for free in your sleep. And I was like, dang, yeah, man, that got me. And I think that's when I was like, okay, I'm gonna look up Google lucid dreaming and look at that later, because I think everyone's had dreams like that where like you wake up, or you have a dream that you wake up and do what you're going to do in real life, whether that is working or like something you have planned later that day, and then you do it and then you wake up and you haven't actually done anything and it sucks.
Yeah, no, it's some like those, especially because like those type of dreams are typically kind of overlaid with some form of like I've woken up late or something. And so it's like,
yeah, some kind of like anxiety.
Right. No. So yeah, no, there's definitely a lot that this film introduces and talks about where it was nice in that way of feeling like, oh yeah, that is a thing. I didn't think about other people experiencing that small thing, especially in terms of dreams.
Yeah.
That was another review I saw that said this. It was like, dreams are something that like pretty much everybody experiences to some extent, but haven't like a lot of their representation in film and stuff. Pretty inaccurate. Like it doesn't, like this really did make it uncomfortable in a weird way where it's like, oh, that really did feel like I was half awake watching this. And
yeah, it was very like just like stream of consciousness, just kind of bouncing all over the place, but then kind of tying itself back together. Like, yeah. thinking back on thinking back on it as a whole, it was definitely like, yeah, I've had a dream just like that before.
Yeah. No. It was good though. I did like it. Again, I think I'll circle back to it maybe a little ways down the line. Have you watched any other rotoscope animated films before?
I don't think so. I'm gonna like look up a list.
Yeah, I wanted to do the same because I did when I first was diving into this. I guess like Fantasia and Fantasia 2000 are.
They are?
Which I guess, so again, it's, let me read the.
Actually, sorry. Now that you bring this up, I forgot that used to be a really big thing in animation, that they would record them live action with just like a model and then they'd draw over them. Because like a lot of the Disney movies are rotoscope, apparently.
Right. Well, and that makes sense too. I guess I was like really just thinking about it in terms of how I guess I think Uncanny Valley is, I think you put it kind of perfectly with that, how that looks now, that's how it seems like that direction of animation has gone. It doesn't have that traditional, cause yeah, I'm looking here like the Black Cauldron, Anastasia. Yeah. All of these. I'm like, oh yeah.
Cinderella, Alice in Wonderland.
It's just kind of a,
The Frog Princess.
Kind of a
technically the same.
Yeah. Interesting. I've seen a ton of them.
Because I forget, because like I see stuff like that, because I obviously really like animated films and, you know, algorithms and such. I see a lot of clips of like, oh, this is a clip from Alice in Wonderland, and here's like the actress they based it on and the recording of her doing the scene and then what the animators animated over it. Now, the animation is, yes, a lot more stylized and nowhere near Uncanny Valley, but the movements are based on this live action recording.
A lot more prevalent than I thought. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to talk about, just for a second, I watched a short film to kind of maybe go hand in hand with this. That was another rotoscoped short. And it is called Exordium. I'll leave a link to that short. You can watch it on YouTube in the description of this episode. And I highly recommend it. It kind of felt like, for those listening who maybe don't know, Nikki and I are fans of the tabletop game Dungeons and Dragons, and it kind of reminded me of like a Dungeons and Dragons like little mission.
Love that.
Done in rotoscope style, and Exordium is kind of a proof of concept for the director, Morgan Gallen King. He had done a handful of shorts, but this one in particular was proof of concept for a full-length film, Spine of Night, that got able to be created. It seems like it's had quite the I'm trying to think of the word, like, response to it. It came out last year in 2021, and has a lot of relatively big names involved in it, like Patton Oswalt
Mangiello.
Yes,
I think that's how you pronounce it.
Anyway, yes. So it has a handful of relatively large names in it, and I'm curious to watch that at some point, just because I really enjoyed Exordium. And yeah, that would be my recommendation. Both that and Waking Life would not recommend for kids.
Oh yeah, this is very much adult.
Yeah.
Animated. I think it's rated pretty mature.
Yes.
I don't remember if it's rated R, but it's definitely mature.
Definitely. I mean, even if it wasn't for the content of it, like anything that's actually like vulgar or violent in it, which it does have some vulgar language in it. The concepts just, I mean, there would not be, it would be, I don't want to say wasted on a kid, but just I don't know. Don't think about this. Hey, kids, think about something else. Think about yeah. Puppies. I don't know. Something. Don't think.
If you want to give a child a crisis and for them to ask you some very uncomfortable questions
that you don't have the answer to.
Yeah.
Because this film definitely doesn't answer all the questions it asks either.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did want to ask, since we didn't do this up top, what else have you been watching here recently?
Oh, what else have I been watching? Well, I literally just watched Pretty Young Woman. Wait, nope. Promising Young Woman. Mm. I mean, she was pretty too, so
yes.
Whatever. That was very good. I've heard nothing but good things about it and just finally got around to watching it. I just finished watching something. I don't remember what it was. What have you been watching, Brandon?
Well, being here in Thailand, especially at the current hotel that we are staying at, we are in the process of moving into a apartment here where our internet speed should pick up dramatically. however, that has been not the case here at this hotel. Mm. Otherwise, lovely place, but just kind of the downside. I have been watching a lot of short films because my computer cannot load full-length films very well.
Feature-length films. Yeah, okay.
Do you remember the good old days, Nikki, whenever YouTube would load when you paused the video?
When it would buffer?
Yes, back in the buffering days. I miss those days. God darn it. There was a couple days I've spent here, just to go on a short tangent, I spent a couple days where like I would spend an hour and a half trying to watch a movie before I'd finally just have to give up because it would load. And anyway, mm-hmm. So I've been watching a lot of short films because they load much better. And I wanted to take a minute to talk about an animated director and animator herself, Susan Pitt. I watched a handful. Like seven of her short films are on the Criterion channel. Very, very strange and odd style animation. But I just kind of fell down the rabbit hole that is her work. And she unfortunately passed away a handful of years ago. But her two of her children made a 30-minute long documentary interviewing her and her process on a couple of her films. And it's just very, very unique animation, sometimes very avant-garde, kind of hard to grasp. And some of the particularly short ones are, she has one called Pinball that is just rapid fire cuts of paintings of hers. But I like literally to the beat of this song, just within you know, single frames of this. But I don't know, I was just kind of really taken by her animation and then watching that documentary. She talked about she lived in Mexico City when she was animating this one in particular. And it was just really kind of beautiful watching her talk about, she would like go to the beach and they had pictures of her like actually painting out the individual frames, like sitting on the beach and having them all laid out. And yeah, if you get an opportunity to watch Susan Pitt work, it's definitely strange and kind of challenging at times, but I don't know. I really enjoyed those.
I remembered what I watched.
Yes.
Not as beautiful on some of the parts. I watched the second season of Why Women Kill, which was very good. It's one of those like anthology series where there's only two seasons, but each season has a different cast and kind of storyline. Mm-hmm. That was really good. I watched that one very quickly. I had a weekend to myself, and instead of being productive, I binged a lot of stuff. I watched the special season of Queer Eye, where they were in Japan. Finally, it's a couple years old, but it was so good. It was like four episodes, but it was very, very good. Very heartwarming, as Queer Eye tends to be. And then in the realm of animation, I watched The Legend of Vox Machina.
No, I was about to say, I was like,
Machina.
Vax Machina. I was as you were talking, I was like, oh gosh, yeah, of course. We've both been watching The Legend of Vox Machina.
Yeah.
We finished that as well. And
speaking of D&D.
Speaking of D&D, yeah, my goodness. If you're a fan of Dungeons and Dragons or animation, or honestly, which is really good television, I highly recommend The Legend of Vox Machina. We won't spend too long out on the podcast because I could probably talk very length about it, but
yes.
Let's hang out after this call for just a minute to talk about
it. Oh, for sure. Yes. But yeah, if you're looking for a new animated series, it's on Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. Legend of Vox Machina.
And it has been renewed for season two, so.
It has, which is awesome.
Very, very cool. Definitely check it out. You do not have to watch the 400 to 500 hours of Critical Role to enjoy it, but that is also very, very good.
You didn't tell me that. You made me watch it all.
I did not. You are just
I'm
a
just
trooper.
Kidding. I haven't watched all of it, but I've watched, I'm almost there. I'm mm-hmm. almost caught up to like where the show picks up. Anyways.
Yes.
That's the other thing I've been watching a lot of is the live stream that this series is based off of. So.
Same. Yes. Anyway, let's wrap things up.
Let's wrap it up. What are we watching next month?
We're watching Bird Boy.
Bird Boy.
Which I'm very
excited. Bird, he's a boy. Who knows?
Who knows? I'm excited. I don't know. This was like one of the first ones that I remember coming across when I was trying to like make a list of animated films for potential watch. And I just remember I was really taken by this one. It's Bird Boy and the Forgotten Children. If I'm not mistaken, it is a combination effort between Spain and Japan. I think the story was actually written from somebody from Spain. I'm very curious. The animation looks really awesome. Very stoked.
That's what got me, because I think I picked this from the list you made, mm-hmm. and it was the cover. I was like, I don't know what that is, but I want to watch it.
Right? Oh, yes. It looks very, very cool. 2015's Bird Boy, The Forgotten Children.
The Forgotten Children.
We'll be watching that on March 25th. So if you want to check it out prior to that episode, then definitely check in with that film.
And if you have anything you'd like to contribute to the conversation next episode, you can reach us at 2D or not 2D cast at Gmail, on Instagram, Twitter. I think that's it. And we'd be happy to include your submissions. Also, if you look us up on anchor.fm where we host our podcast, you can actually send voice messages that we can just plop right into the podcast and you can hear your beautiful voice next to ours.
Yes. I think that's going to do it for us here. Unless you have anything else, Nick, anything on...
I was just going to say another one that I have not watched yet, but I'm going to watch next is the Cuphead animated series just came out.
Oh, that's right. I've been confused because I didn't know if it was out or not, but then I saw that it just came out like this weekend, mm-hmm. right? Okay, cool.
Yeah, it came out. I think it came out Friday.
So yes, we do need to watch that. We'll definitely be talking about that next time.
For sure.
All right. Well, thanks, Nikki. This has been fun.
Yeah, thanks, Brandon. It's been real fun.
We'll see everybody nowhere because it's a podcast. We'll talk to everybody.
You'll hear us later. You'll hear us. So make sure to in next time.
Nailed it.
Mm-hmm.